starting out. This is episode 47, and this time I have back with us the great Michael Kimsall. He returned from the desert, right? Hello, Michael.
Good morning, or guten Morgen, meine Herren. As you can see, my surroundings are slightly different from last time we spoke.
Yeah, it's like you've been having too much work.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
All archiving those file archives you have on the, well, at least it's on my right. Okay,
you're
well.
Right, but okay, sorry.
Yes, my, well, that's the way I see it. I'm never sure when this picture is mirrored. Well, anyway, today we are going to talk about, as usual, the latest topics, interesting topics about things that are going on in the PHP world. And as always, let me start from the latest PHP releases. Let me share the screen here. Already in May, because we're recording this a bit delayed than usual, we have PHP 5.4.28, which, well, there's nothing really much to say because it's mostly bug fixes.
Oh, and, come on. It's probably got a lot of other stuff, too.
Like, such as?
I don't know. I just think it probably does. Think it probably got new bugs that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. If they fix some and they add a few more, but they don't know yet. And that's the
see right there. It says F pass through broken.
Oh, where
they were fixing it. They were saying it was broken, and this is a bug fix. I thought they introduced
intentionally.
Yeah. F pass through. No,
we have broken F pass through, so you can have more fun with your
pass through.
So upgrade as soon as possible because new bugs. It's more fun.
You might have been using fpass through too much. So they,
yeah. Well, I don't know if I use much that function because it's usually to. I think it's to run some. Is it the one to? No, that's probably pipe open.
Yes, it passes through stuff from a file handle.
Yeah.
To the response channel.
Right, so you probably have opened a file and it just flushes the contents to the page output. And, but I don't recall using this much, but it's probably not a big deal either because I do not always upgrade to the latest version because precisely I don't want to benefit from the latest bugs.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have the habit to upgrade to the latest version just
I don't. I'm not sure what I'm on. Let me see what I'm on.
Do you have a criteria like let's wait 1 month and
no,
I'll start
I'm
using
on,
these?
Actually, a couple of machines I'm on right now are on 5.4.16. I'm not doing anything. I think I've got one with 5.5 on it, but I'm not doing anything that is 5.5 specific, even if it is. So anything I'm writing is at most 5.4 compatible. And also at the same time, the majority of PHP stuff that I'm doing is not getting a lot of heavy use or traffic. And unless somebody was to scream out, there's a massive security exploit, that's my criteria. I'm not necessarily going to go try to update everything unless there's a security issue or I need some new feature.
Exactly. Yeah, there is no rush. This is mostly bug fixes or things that are not affecting your environment, your sites. Maybe it's not a good idea to upgrade because you probably will stumble into new bugs that you did not have to be concerned before. And talking about bugs, it seems that the PHP 5.5.12 is mostly similar bugs, or probably not much more than that. It's a bit hard to tell, but Well, what matters is that bugs are being fixed, and if you stumble into these bugs, you know you need to upgrade it, and there is a solution for those bugs. And other than the latest releases, the latest PHP 5.6 beta has also come up earlier in May. Let me increase the font here. I have not tried it. I'm particularly not excited with PHP 5.6 because it's what it introduces is not thinking anything that is really exciting. There is not enough motivation to even try it. I don't know. Have you tried 5.6?
Nope. Still 5.4.5.5. No, come on. I'm looking at here over a list. Internal operator overloading. Uploads over 2 gig now accepted. Post data memory usage decreased. Improved syntax for variadic functions. The variadic functions thing. Is that in 5.5? I should know. I'm on a PHP podcast. I should know, but I don't know.
Yeah, but don't worry. I don't know either. Because sometimes these developments are so uninteresting that probably we don't even bother to consider trying the latest release. I think from 5.3 to 5.4, there were some significant speed improvements that may be worth the upgrade, but after that, I'm not particularly excited with the news. And, well, but let's see.
They've actually made big improvements, if there have been significant improvements in the post handling, then that may be, just that alone may appeal to some people. The rest of these, it's going to require refactoring your code or writing new code to do it. I guess that in some sense that's always the that splitting point when you get upgrades. Is everything just faster and better? That's great. Are there now new data structures or new operators that I have where it might make my life easier, but until I modify my code, there's not a whole lot of point in doing it. So, yeah, right. The eternal split.
Yeah, because there are always those developers that like to be on the top of the latest wave and benefit from the latest features that they write. Backwards incompatible code that doesn't work with older versions. But I think that's probably a minority, because the majority of developers do not even control the version of PHP they run on the sites of their customers. So they are pretty much stuck with whatever they have, and they do not even get interested on the latest features. And other than that, I noticed from watching the interest about articles posted on PHP Classes blog, the top most interesting news articles are about a couple of things. This is observed very consistently. One is performance, and another is security. So one is a benefit, and the other is a pain. So people get interested because those seem to be the more urgent topics they are concerned. So if you talk about speed improvements, just like the latest article on PHPNG, they're very interested. And security, it's the same. Apart from that, new features, they do not get so much excited about. But if you tell them about a old feature that will get broken or discontinued, deprecated or whatever, in the future versions, they also get concerned. For instance, when in the past you talk about the deprecation of the MySQL, the original MySQL extension in PHP, there is a big concern, a big discussion. Some people in favor, others against. And that's one of a very specific kind of topic that people get interested in. Feature deprecation. And about new features, well, not so much. Well, anyway, we always talk about new features over here. And there are a few being proposed. Let me start, for instance, about one proposal of supporting having negative offsets as indexes of strings, for instance. I think, well, this is about strings. I'm not sure if they can also extend it to arrays.
You can already do it with arrays, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I think.
It's probably not one of those latest features that I never use. Anyway, the idea here is just if you specify a negative offset, I mean a negative index, it will take it as if you are taking a part of the string counting from the end instead of the beginning when the index is positive. I think this has its purposes. I don't know if it is a frequent need. There is a frequent need for this, at least in my projects. But I can see it can be useful in some cases. I don't know what you think, Michael.
I was trying to run this, and I can't get PHP to run at all at the moment. It just hangs. But I thought this was something that you could do with... Okay.
I think it's substring, right?
I may be thinking of substring, but I've also got some weird Zend extension manager already loaded twice. Yeah, undefined offset negative one. Okay, so no, you can't do it with, at least in whatever version I'm running here on my command line. This could be 5.3. 5.4.21. Okay, so you can't do it. So you can't do it with that either. Okay. Do you need it? I don't know. And as somebody in that thread that you linked to pointed out, excuse me while I move the move this stuff here. As somebody pointed out, this is just one step away from using Python syntax. I don't know if they meant that as a good or a bad thing, but I'm just not sure. I don't know. I don't know if it really gets you a whole lot. Now, I'm used to being able to do some of this in Groovy, but at the same time, there's also some weird aspects of that sort of direct string or array access in Groovy. So nothing's perfect. Is it going to get you much? I don't know. Yeah. If somebody's already done a patch for it and it just kind of would work, I don't know if there's a huge negative to it.
Right. It seems there is a part of the developers that are concerned in having features on PHP just because they exist on other languages. Just because they exist on other languages, it doesn't mean that you really need them in PHP. But if the feature is beneficial, great. If not, probably it's not a big deal. And I think it won't hurt to add these features. I probably will not use them soon enough because they will require a newer version that I probably will not be using anytime soon. But I understand the language has to move on.
What we would now, what I would refer to as the current standard PHP or Zend PHP, typeless PHP or loosely typed PHP, I think being able to do negative offset stuff like that for arrays and for strings would cause hell with IDEs.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
I know it would, and I don't. This is something, and it's a string. But can you do the square brackets on it? I don't know. Is it a string? Is it an array? What version of PHP am I? It strikes me as we need types. Just bring types. Everybody moved to typed PHP, which probably brings you to your next or brings us to another segment or another topic.
Yeah, right. We already, I suppose you mean about the Facebook hack and the feature that Facebook hack added and commented in the last episode already. And many of those things are towards that direction, and somehow the PHP core developers are reluctant to add them. And well, until when? until everybody has moved to Facebook, heck, maybe. Well,
yeah,
I hope not. It would be bad to have a split in the PHP community, but well, Facebook doesn't care. They are doing their own stuff, and they can, if they cannot if they stop relying on the goodwill or motivation of PHP core developers, it's better for them. I think I'm not from Facebook to tell what is their criteria, but that's what I probably would think if I were the, them. Okay, but moving on now, another discussion here, which is to somehow enhance the functions reset and end. Those functions are used to traverse arrays, so they can take an additional argument to tell them if they should skip a few elements on the array. So, for instance, reset the pointer of traversing an array to the first element. So if they could, if there was an additional argument to tell it to skip the first element and go directly to the second element, it would be probably useful for some applications. And that's what this proposal is about. There is even a pull request on GitHub for PHP. It may be useful, but it's, again, not one of those very, very useful features that they could bring into PHP to make it significantly better. I don't know what you think, Michael.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any hard feeling on this. If somebody wants to do it, you can add it.
Yeah.
It's never been a problem for me, and I've been doing PHP for 18 years. It's not to say it's not a problem for somebody else, but it's pretty. It would be pretty low on my totem pole. However,
right.
Somebody's done a patch for it. It solves their problem. It does fill in a logical issue. I guess part of it is I so rarely work with arrays rather than hashes or maps that I've never had the issue to say, I need to reset it and then jump. I need to cycle through 80 things. I probably have had to do it on occasion and I've just modified a for loop or something. It just has not felt like anything that's ever been an issue for me. But if somebody's got a patch for it and it doesn't create any other problems, as with always, adding a new parameter generally shouldn't add a problem. But now, it's another definition of the language people need to support. And I think the patch was saying it doesn't support negative offsets, so maybe it shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think it would make
sense. Or they should sort it out and make it support negative.
What would be the effect of passing a negative offset to reset? Would it make it the pointer go backwards in the array, go to the end of the array?
Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't just use end and then
exactly.
And then the number there. So if end comma 2 takes you two things from the end, I'm not sure that you'd necessarily need to support reset negative 2.
Making it even more complicated when it is not useful for anything.
Yeah, it's just something else that'll go on the PHP cert test 3 years from now.
Yeah, those fake useful features. Yeah, well, now moving on to one feature that could actually make a big difference to PHP, I think, at least in my opinion. Let me share the screen here. And the proposal is to have somehow a better support for mail handling. I suppose this is at least for mail sending, because for mail receiving, it's probably more complex, but it says mail handling. And the idea is to have something similar to what we have already with sessions, which would be the possibility to register handlers to do some processing related with email. This is a bit abstract. I don't know if you follow the whole concept, but the idea here is that you would pass some objects with the definition of a mail message, and the handler would take care to actually deliver it. And the truth is that I think it's a very important feature, but over time, PHP developers have resorted to existing mail libraries written in PHP, and somehow they have their own mail problems solved. I think this could be useful just as much as, for instance, PDO, that somehow tried to provide a uniform interface to database access, so we don't have to learn a different API for each database. With this mail, what they call it, mail handler interface, you would be able to write PHP applications that could send email using the same functions, but then you could replace the handler and have some other library to deal with it, with the specifics, because there are many ways to send email. You could send email using the mail function, or send to a relay to a SMTP server, and then there are many types of configurations that you can change to make it probably more efficient in certain cases. Yeah. And I think this could be useful, not absolutely necessary, but could be useful to bring some peace to the applications that really need to send email, which are practically all PHP applications, I think. What do you think, Michael? Have you thought into this?
Trying to do it with, if I understood it correctly, they were thinking about trying to do it with the streams processing. It's funny because a couple of years ago, in one of the PHP classes that I teach, I mention mail handling as something you could do with custom streams. I probably wouldn't do it myself, but it is an example that you can use to say, register a custom handler, parse out the username and password, connect to it. So that's on the receiving end, checking an IMAP mailbox, for example. But in terms of sending, I'm reading through some of the threads here, and it just feels like it's a more complex problem than what that could provide. Your analogy of PDO to this, it might make sense, but I don't think, as somebody there pointed out, it's not just an issue of streaming bytes. There's a larger issue of configuration as well, which doesn't seem to be dealt with in the proposal. So some unified mail creation and the bigger issue really is mail creation, creating MIME things, creating emails with inline HTML and attachments and all that stuff. That's what everybody's classes do. The actual sending that block of text to an SMTP server is, by comparison, pretty easy to do. There isn't any good way of dealing with errors like bounces and things like that, and I don't think that's ever something you can build into the language itself. But I kind of like the idea, but I don't think necessarily doing it just with a subclass of the stream system is really the way to do it.
Yeah, it's sending email is so complex, and there are new standards being added to the possibilities of sending mail to define signatures and encryption and all sorts of new RFCs being added over time, and to take advantage of all those standards and put it in a single interface probably is not going to cut it. But then again, I think PDO does not cut all the possibilities of all databases, and because there are some weird databases like Oracle PDO is not a good solution for.
I like to. Well, I would probably suggest that we don't pursue this, because somebody will create something and it will be the baked in thing into PHP, and it probably would suck in some respects, or at least not do some basic stuff that you'd expect. And then rather than using an external class that is full featured, people will say, well, just use the internal one because it does this. And then you're going to be dealing with workarounds. You mentioned PDO. As far as I can tell, there is no PDO closed connection. It's just not there. And
I don't know how people use it.
Yeah, it's not there. There is no PDO closed connection.
Yeah. I use a very, I would say, old, because I developed it a long time ago. And although there aren't been much new developments, I continue to maintain it, which is a database abstraction called Metabase. It does not only abstract database access, but also schema management. You can give it a schema definition and it install that schema with whatever is the database. And PDO does not do that because it goes far beyond what were their goals. PDO is more like to be what ADO is for the Windows world, .NET or whatever. And
I think even in ADO you can close a connection. There is a, just set this to null and it will destroy it, but it doesn't actually work all the time. And I'm still maybe confused 7, 8 years later, 9 years later, as to why there's just not an explicit close.
Yeah. Probably because in most web applications you use persistent connections, and in the end there is not an exit. The actuals would not even happen.
No, if you don't do this with the docs, though, PHP will close the connection when your script ends. It closes the PDO connection. So it's just inconsistent architecture. This isn't a PDO rant so much, but it's just an example of that's now the go-to. If you're doing database stuff, everybody assumes that you should be doing that, even if there are edge cases that it doesn't support. They'd rather try to work around those edge cases rather than just use something else. Yeah. And the mail thing would be the same. It would end up being the same situation. I'm just not sure that there's...
Right. Actually, I think mail is even more complex. Like things like, as you mentioned, like for instance, how do you deal with the email bounces? Well, the bounce happens after you send the message. But
somebody would want to eventually try to build that in, I think. The fact that they're talking about both mail creation and mail sending in the same proposal should be a red flag. Something to just create mail messages for you, to handle all the MIME stuff, that's fine. But the signing of them would be separate if you need that, and the sending of them would be separate, and they probably should be separate components.
And there's also the problem we deal with the memory limitations, because if you try to send large files, you probably will be able, you'll have a hard time dealing with very, very large files because it would exceed the PHP memory limits.
Yeah.
So the solution for that is to have an interface that supports streaming data rather than building the whole MIME envelope all at once and then streaming the MIME data to the whatever is the means to communicate with the mail server. And the mail function is not even appropriate for that, because the mail function assumes that you can pass the whole message in a single string, and if that string exceeds the PHP memory limits, you simply can't. It will abort your script. You can't send large messages. And but you could, for instance, if you pipe the message to sendmail or qmail or postfix or whatever, or SMTP server, whatever is the means that allows you to stream data rather than push a whole stream. This is already complex enough to deal with. One thing that I probably think would be a good solution is to follow what was done for Java, and somebody will curse me for saying that, which is instead of providing an implementation, provide a specification for an interface, and different developers will provide implementations. Mm. So it will be sort of an abstraction, but if there are limitations in a certain implementation, other developers could implement better approaches, but with the same interface, so you don't have to change your actual application.
I guess I disagree now in 2014. That would be the one-off case. There's so few little of that in the PHP community now to try to say, well, we're going to do that for this mail thing. It's just...
It doesn't happen.
No.
There is the FIG
initiative,
but they seem to be still arguing about code formatting and class loading. They're not specific for actual practical things like sending email and
Community, and I say this is with respect, but the community as a whole, or the community that would end up implementing this, what you're suggesting, I don't think is, I want to say talented, and that's going to come across wrong, but disciplined maybe enough to do something with the rigor that would satisfy enough people and leave the door open for more stuff. It would, if anything, it would just end up just pissing off and dividing more people.
Right.
So it's probably, if there was already a history of doing this in the community, then yeah, it would just be another thing to do. Here, let's make a set of specifications for mail handling. But we're 19 years into PHP, and that's not the way we roll. So.
Yeah, well, I think the PHP, the people around the FIG specification, who have the patience and determination to be spend months arguing about the code formatting rules, this and that. Maybe they have the patience to go through that, but
but that's at the framework level. That's framework interop group. And at the framework level, that's in the PHP world, that's where this stuff belongs, not at the language level. So, and I didn't mean that nobody could do it, but I was maybe more specifically meaning to the history of the PHP language evolution and community and how that stuff happens. FIG, probably somewhat different story, though.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of that either.
If they develop PDO with the means to provide a uniform interface for different databases, they could as well do it for mail. But that's the proposal that is being presented here in this topic. And at least they are starting discussing it, because this probably will not get to a conclusion anytime soon. But people are already arguing if this is the right set of functions and to have in an interface. And at least they are discussing it. Whether if they will come to a conclusion and move on to an actual implementation of any specification, that will be a different story. But let's wait and see. In your space, they might implement this, but nobody adopts it, because it will probably be a thing for the future, for a future version, and everybody needs to upgrade. And
PHP 6, it'll be, if it's in PHP 6, that'll be fine.
Yeah, well, even the name of the next version, whether it will be PHP 6 or PHP 7, they have not yet reached to an agreement. Okay, now moving on to the next topic. One thing that I was that has been discussed is what will be the next what will be present in the next major PHP version. And one thing that I found here, there's a discussion about error handling using error events. And I don't know, but people sometimes come up with probably more complicated alternatives to dealing with things that are sort of well dealt already. And I'm not even sure what this proposal tries to achieve. They probably want to deal with fatal errors with exceptions, but I don't know if even fatal errors can be recovered. Michael, I don't know if you looked into this.
I have looked at it. I didn't understand some of it. I understood some. It seems like they certainly want more consistency. I agree with that. There's a feeling of arbitrariness and possibly going back and either, probably for a backwards compatibility standpoint, you'd need to have two layers of messages, unless you or two layers of errors. You'd have the old style errors and the new style errors, and maybe the new style errors, maybe everything is an exception. Maybe every single thing. That's, I don't think that's what they're proposing, but yeah. To me that would make sense. Everything's an exception. There's some default handling for that, and then you can register other custom handling and deal with your own inline handling. But the idea of event severity or error severity mimics a lot of logging systems from Java and .NET, and even in the PHP framework world. But baking that into the language, I don't think I'm opposed to that. I'd like to have more consistency in error handling. The idea of, hey, we have exceptions, and you can throw exceptions, and 10% of the language throws exceptions, or 5% of the language throws exceptions, but nothing else does, is weird. The idea of the fatal handler, fatal error that you can't catch, but now sometimes you can catch, or you can catch, but you can't do anything with. Re-evaluating how all that works and how you deal with it. It would be great for that to be on the board.
Yeah, certainly the fatal error handling is somehow not present there. It's what you can do is register a shutdown function and at least you make sure that after a fatal error it gets called, but you do not get the whole context. You do not care at what call the code that issued the fatal error. So I think that that could be improved somehow, but other than that, probably complicating things more than they are. I understand the point of making it more consistent, but I don't know. People are always making up things that probably have more complexity than the benefit of what they solve. I think that's my opinion. Anyway, moving to the next topic here will be.
I'll mention this for a moment though, because I saw this person's the at symbol, so suppress messages operator. And I didn't quite get what they were saying at first, but they give an example of saying, hey, we could have a suppress message wrapper around code, and then say, you know, instead of doing at fopen, you know, dollar handler equals at fopen, you could just wrap it in a suppress messages handler of some sort. And as this person replies, they said, this could actually be resolved much, much, much more elegantly, is to just have it throw real usable exceptions instead of returning false and spitting out a warning. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's the canonical, one of the canonical examples. And it's, anyway, I didn't want to go too much in that, but yeah, I would like to have real exceptions everywhere in PHP and deal with them.
Well, I think it could be interesting. Anyway, as I was saying, moving on to the next topic, which basically getting back to the decision regarding having type hinting for returning values of functions or class functions or whatever. And I think if you have already a type hinting for function parameters, you might as well have type hinting for everything else. I don't know if it has any performance impact, because the more time hinting you have, the more type checking you need to have in your PHP code. So I'm not sure if this would be a solution that everybody will use for the sake of performance. But for the sake of detecting bugs earlier,
I'm a Groovy guy. I use Groovy.
Well, although they do it in Groovy.
It's optional. There's optional typing on most things, but it's known ahead of time. Well, what's known is if you do explicit typing, and it's because it compiles to Java, so there's a compilation step, so that's actually faster. Explicitly saying, this will return a string, or this will return a list or an array, or this variable is this particular type of class. Being explicit is faster because of the compilation step, and it doesn't have to do checking at runtime. But from a convenience standpoint, it's really handy to just be able to say def x equals 0 and not worry about, do I want to make it a float or a double or an int, and just deal with the math later. So the issues are maybe kind of reverse, because in the PHP world, because of the complete compilation that we have, you're going to be doing more checks. Though that said, even in the Groovy world, it's going to be doing checks at runtime. If you're trying to add an integer to a float, it's going to have to say, oh, is this a float? What sort of thing is this? Because it doesn't know ahead of time, because you haven't said I is a float. You've just said I is a def. So, but I'm a fan of it. I like the ability to do explicit typing when I want or need to, and untyped stuff by default.
Right.
So I don't particularly care for the syntax. I don't really care for it in Hack. It reminds me of ActionScript, and I've got bad memories of ActionScript. I think given the current syntax of PHP, I'm not sure that you could do much other syntax other than after a function declaration, do colon and then whatever type of thing you're going to return. The options here are a string, array, or callable. It would be nice to be able to say it's going to return a particular type of class. That would be really, really handy. Given that most of the other type hinting we have in PHP right now is only user-defined classes anyway, it would be nice to have some consistency there.
Right. I think, just like I said, if you have type hinting in function arguments, you might as well have the function return values and variables and whatever. But the more checks you add at runtime, the more it could impact the performance. And that's, I think, why core developers are reluctant to do it. Because it's not all the checks have to be done at runtime. Anyway, it will be optional. So if you have type hinting, fine. If you don't have type hinting, it's fine too. It's up to you to decide. It's up to the developer. And this somehow ties to the next topic, which is about the announcement of a new branch of PHP. They call PHPNG because they do not know exactly what version, in what PHP version this will come up. And I have written this article. Hopefully, I think it will be called still PHP 6 because it's the next logical number, despite the original plans for PHP 6 many years ago were canceled. But that's the path. The discussion still goes on, and that's probably not the most important matter. What matters is that after Facebook announced the Hack language, Zen people somehow woke up from sort of stagnation in the core engine development because Facebook Hack and HHVM virtual machine that Facebook developed already supports what this PHPNG branch intends to implement, which is a JIT compilation engine. I mean, the code is compiling to native machine code as it gets executed. And this will result in a much faster execution of the PHP code. In this case, Zen developers, actually specifically Dmitry Stogov, opted to develop their own thing based on, I think it's on LLVM assembly compiler engine. They, although in theory they could cooperate with Facebook people, they developed their own thing, so they remain independent, and I can understand that. But this is just still one thing that the HHVM engine and the Facebook Hack language implement that PHP misses. And basically, I present it about more about it in this article. I also mentioned things that the Facebook Hack Language implements, but they are still missing in the current Zend engine based PHP NG branch, like new typing in constructs. That's like what we commented before. And one thing that is probably my favorite feature, well, actually it's not probably, it's definitely my favorite feature of the Facebook Hack Language, is the way they handle synchronous programming with the new constructs. You don't have to deal with callbacks. And well, other things that are more technical, but I think these are the most important. Michael, I don't know if you followed the announcements of the PHP NG branch. It's still very early, but I think we already have an idea what it can be. What do you think?
I followed them, and I've always been a little curious about the timing, because it's pretty obvious that the work that they said, hey, this is what we're looking at and this is what we've worked on so far, it wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction to the hack stuff. I mean, HHVM has been going on for a while, the hip-hop stuff, but hack as a language, hey, this is a whole new language. It's very like PHP, but it's got new stuff. I don't know in what sense that sort of forced the PHP community, maybe Zend's hand, to say, we're working on these things too. Maybe they should have been more more open about it. I don't know. It's nice to see, and I suspect that probably some of the other things from Hack that aren't there yet may make their way into a PHP NG and will just continue on with one canonical example of PHP.
Yeah.
You could end up splitting into, and I don't think it's. As long as there's 99% compatibility, there may be a feature that is not in Hack, which isn't in PHP 6 or whatever it ends up getting called. I think some people would see this as very, very fractured. If there's maybe some gentleman's agreement to keep these things essentially on the same path, but maybe with slightly different runtimes, optimized for different purposes, you could end up with a Java situation where almost everybody used Suns, or maybe Oracle now uses their JVM, but IBM's got one and somebody else has, you know, there's three or four other JVMs and they run nearly all Java code. Now, of course, one might have a slight variation that doesn't run certain sets of code or doesn't run them well, but I don't think it would necessarily be bad. I think we'll probably, for years to come, still see everybody on the Zend thing, the Zend structured JVM or PHP runtime. But I think it's too early to tell what's going to happen here.
Well, sorry, I was in mute. I think the difference between PHP and Facebook Hack are not small. Once you migrate your PHP code to Hack, it will no longer be compatible with PHP, so that will be a problem for adoption.
Right now, that would be the case. I'm suspecting that there may be enough cross-pollination back so that you could fairly easily go back and forth between the two and get different runtime behavior and different benefits in each situation.
Yes, I think it's positive that Facebook is doing this. Actually, they are not doing this, I think, in my opinion. I don't know what they think. They are not doing this for the sake of PHP. They are doing this for the sake of their own development. So Facebook, whole site needs to perform as fast as possible with the least requirements of hardware. So there is a whole set of improvements, not just in the language, but also in the environment. They can run it as a multi-threaded environment, which PHP is not very adequate for that. Other than that, personally, I hope there will only be one PHP language in the future, not PHP and Hack. But to have it as a single language, somehow the developments have to converge. And so far, what we have seen is that Zen somehow has been sleeping and not focusing enough on PHP, their Zen engine. And now, after Facebook hack has been announced, they sort of woke up and wait, we still want to be relevant, and you are back to the job. And well, at least that's the way I read it.
Could be. I think 2014, 2015 will be interesting years to watch this.
Yeah. Well, on the positive side, I think this it's all reflects that the greatest competitor of PHP is still PHP, or Facebook Act, if you want to call it.
But, yeah.
I think Facebook Act is still PHP with a different face. Probably PHP with a futuristic face because of all the new features that they have added to the language, and they are really cool, and lots of people have been requesting for them in the PHP core, and they're all in discussions, excuses to not implement them. And all that is very frustrating, and somehow Facebook fulfilled the desires of many PHP developers that wanted the feature that they implemented Facebook Hack, and they are not available in PHP, at least for now. But I hope they will be. And that's my hope, that we'll still only have one PHP in the future, being PHP 6 or 7 or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I think the future is bright for PHP. I don't think there is no reason for those that felt PHP could be threat by Ruby on Rails or Python or whatever. PHP development is quite alive, and it's great that Facebook is helping to push things forward. It's also great that Zend has sort of woke up and is getting back to the game. And I think it's all positive.
Cool. Yep.
Okay, now we're getting close to the end of this hangout. And now we are going to one of the last regular sections on which we comment just a few of the Innovation Award winners in the case, first we talk about JS Classes site, because this is the broader site of PHP Classes, and I want to promote it as well, because JS Classes site is a much smaller site, and it's interesting to make it more developed. It has much more contributions, and now we are going to comment a few of the nominees of the February edition of the Innovation Award that were voted on March, and then in April the results come out. Michael, which one of these five nominees would you like to comment?
I think, hello, 1, 2, good morning.
Yeah.
I think I was looking at JS Dynamic Load, JavaScript Dynamic Load, and that is from, I'm looking for who it's from, just Gino. No last name, in India, and it's a basic object that you can configure to load up multiple other JavaScript files after or at a certain time. So it doesn't have to be in your standard script tags. It can load up, load those up after the rest of your initial pages load up. So you can load dependencies. You mentioned before, sort of like a require JS kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's useful for that purpose. And
sorry, I meant to share my screen as well. How do I do that? Just to show it.
It's on the.
I can't find the button. Screen share. There we go. They've changed it all since last time I was. Yeah, I'll share that. Can I share?
Yeah.
Grant access to the application. Security and privacy. Oh, it's asking.
No, I think you need to pick the specific window of your browser.
No, I have to
stop the screen sharing, clicking again.
No, I have to give it permission to something. I thought I did that. Do that. Desktop. Start screen share. Are you seeing it?
I see my face, but I think he was sharing the walk.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Are you seeing it now?
No, no, I'm seeing it. If you can increase the font, it will be helpful.
Gino, yes. Browse all classes by Gino. So, hello, Gino from India. And just very basic. I think I'm logged in here. Yeah. There's not too much to it, but you register a callback, and it will give you the little logs to the console, and it'll show you when it'll show you what it's doing, and register call your callback when it's done.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's not exactly anything new in the JavaScript world, but at least among the other packages published in the JS Plus site, it was innovative. And as you mentioned, it has its purpose is to load libraries dynamically, so you don't delay the initial page loading with libraries that may not be needed. So on my behalf, I also like to comment another package in JS Plus site. In this case, it is called JavaScript Video Cam Kit by Raul from Brazil. And this is very, very simple, but I think it's useful now that most modern browsers support HTML5 access to webcam video and microphone audio from a web page. This is useful precisely because you can get to see what is appearing on a webcam. I'm not sure if it is I don't think it uploads the actual video or audio that is capturing, but it's probably something interesting to do in the following step. So this is interesting because using HTML5, you get rid of dependencies on Flash to do things with webcam audio and video. There were other nominees in this month, but we don't have time, so we're going to move on to the Innovation Award nominees of February, in this case a PHP Casa site. Let's comment a couple each. There was like seven. We don't have the time to comment on all of them. Michael, which ones would you like to comment?
Well, I had one up, and let me try to share my thing again. Where'd I go? Share desktop. There. Decorate. I'd chosen these. I wasn't somebody, I wasn't one of the people picking these, but was just interested in the idea here. Sometimes you need to alter behavior functions by doing something before or after original function code. This is the decorator design pattern. This implements the decorator pattern by calling custom code. You didn't write this. This isn't yours, is it? No. JSTAR 88. Okay.
I just write the nomination text to explain why it was nominated. I just try to explain why it was considered innovative. I'm not endorsing it, but I'm just telling why, because there are rules in this context and it could justify that.
There's only so much you're going to be able to do in PHP as it stands right now, but there's some interesting on after decorative linked lists and on before decorative linked lists, extending the built-in SPL doubly linked list. This has to be a callable function. You say decorate, and you say before this function, do something else. I'm not sure if function itself has to be a closure, or if it can be the name of a function. I don't think probably has to be. It has to be a callable function to intercept. So probably a closure. So may not be as useful to decorate existing code that you don't have source code to, but you could probably modify some of your code to be able to be decorated with this. I've been a fan an interested person, or a person of interest, that's not what I'm trying to say. I've been interested in the idea of AOP and that sort of aspect-oriented programming for a while, and it's just not something you can do in PHP very well, but there are some other, like metaprogramming in general, it's hard to do in PHP, but this is certainly an interesting attempt at giving you some more runtime flexibility.
There are certain solutions. Actually, they've been submitted to PHP Classified many years ago to implement sort of AOP approach, aspect-oriented approach, but they basically take the original source code and alter it somehow to insert the new behavior. So it's not exactly something that is done at the runtime. I mean, you don't alter it dynamically, you have to rewrite the code. And well, it works, it accomplishes its purpose, but it's not something that probably like you see in other languages. But it's still a valid approach to implement these things.
Only because he's actually dealing with, in that example, in the code that he's dealing with, the SPL stuff, the doubly linked list, and the standard PHP library, the SPL stuff is something that is just not used very much. So very interesting to see somebody dealing with that.
Yeah. Well, other than that, which other classes would you like to call?
I pulled up another one to talk about here. This was another one of the winners, the table from insert. Generate a create table statement, and I have to say I'm assuming MySQL for this. It's making an assumption, but if you pass this method an SQL statement, it will give you a very, very bare bones create table statement. Where would you get that? Here's the so you can actually see what it's doing is it's just taking your values, splitting up. I'm guessing that there's probably some Never mind. I was thinking that there was a problem with this. There's not actually a problem with it because it's just looking for the field names. And assuming you don't have any syntax errors in that part of your SQL statement, this will work just fine. So give me the values. Give me the field names. It's just going to make column var 255 out of everything. Possibly not as useful as I initially thought it was when I first saw the name of it. I like auto increment ID primary keys on everything. It might be nice to throw in here. If there's not a field called ID, then add it and make it an auto increment ID.
I'm not sure either if this could be useful for any specific purpose for the reasons that you mentioned, because it probably needs more fields to be guessed, and the insert statements may not have that information.
Maybe.
We'll need to. Yep. Actually query the table metadata, but I don't know what is the scenario that the author was thinking about using this package. We probably do not have access to the database itself. For instance, if you lost your database and you have somehow to recover it from SQL dump that only has insert statements.
I would think that may have been what the motivation was. Seems to me if you had a couple other flags on this class, like create an ID if one doesn't exist, create insert dates and last insert dates, last update dates, things like that. Create some other standard columns that you might want to have. Pass in an array of other columns that should always be there in addition to whatever was in the SQL statement, the insert statement. It probably solved a purpose. It probably solved a data recovery purpose, and that's why it was written in the first place. So
Well, moving on, I'm already off. I'd like to comment also on a couple of classes. Let me share the screen here. The first one is tables for the shell, which is from William Saint Ana from Brazil, and this is one of those interesting packages that are more useful to when you have a sort of console-based applications like scripts that you need to run from the shell, and there have been components to actually render a sort of tables on the shell, emulating the table borders with certain characters that simulate the lines of the borders. But this class actually goes farther and lets you give it an HTML table, and it parses the table and it regenerates the table in text. So this is useful if you have already an application that outputs HTML tables and you do not want to rewrite the whole code to generate the same table to render in text format for outputting on the console. So I think it was a great idea. Let me think, there is a screenshot here that shows how it looks, and it looks pretty well. I think this is a very nice class and very useful for the purpose that is being proposed.
Sweet.
So kudos to William Santana for this great idea. And the other class that I wanted to comment was actually the winner of the month, which is a package meant for addressing security concerns, eventual attacks that your sites are being subject. And this one is from Roland Cousins from Latvia. Oh, it's not Arthur Cousins, but has a somewhat similar name, and it's from Latvia.
Yes.
Yeah, and this package is called PHP Block Host, and what it does is to parse some logs to be able to extract the host addresses of computers that probably are performing security attacks, so it can add them to, I think, firewalls. In this case, it is updating the etc. host.deny files and also htaccess files if necessary. So it parses the logs, like for instance from Apache or SSHD, or even Linux system logs. The finds traces of suspicious activities, and it creates blacklists that you can be used to update those configuration files, so those hosts can be blocked. And it's probably would not be enough to deal with the distributed denial of service attack, but it can be useful for more simpler attacks. And so this seems to be a very useful package, and kudos to Roland Cousins for his package.
Now let me comment a bit about one thing that starting this year, 2014, will become more and more important, which is the ranking of the authors that were nominated for the Innovation Award. And other than the authors, there is now also a ranking by countries. So let's see where each author is. Well, currently, as you may see here, Horacio Principe from Italy is leading the ranking by author. And is followed right after by Roger Backlund from Norway with three packages. So despite Roger has already published three packages and Horacio only two, published packages that were nominated for the Innovation Award, Horacio is leading because he earned more points. So other than that, they are followed by Roland Cousins from Latvia with one package and 7 points. Then there are several authors from Brazil and from Egypt with 6 points. They are in fourth position. Then there are several authors here with less points. So now moving on with the ranking for ranking by country. Currently, Brazil is leading with 3 packages and 17 points, thanks to all these authors that have published several classes. So, despite none of them is leading as individuals, and they contributed for Brazil to win. And Brazil is followed by Italy with also three packages, but only 14 points. Then comes Norway with three packages and 9 points, and that is mostly due to great contributions from Roger Backlund. And then followed by Latvia, Egypt, Portugal, and several others. And well, this ranking standings already takes in account with the nominees of March that we will only comment next month.
Nice.
And with this, you practically ended this podcast. It's already been a bit long, but it was great. It's always great to have you back, Michael, in this podcast. I don't know if you have been having time to record. It's possible. It would be great to have you again.
At some point. It's just been a very, I'd say, life and hecticness. Or busyness, yes.
Somebody has to do the work.
Yes, hello to everybody. Goodbye. Should I say goodbye now? Goodbye to everybody as well. Thank you for tuning in, if you did.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on our behalf. That is all for now. Bye. Okay.